Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Michael Colgan as my special expert guest. Dr. Colgan is one of the world's most popular scientific experts in nutrition. He is a best-selling author and travels the world lecturing on topics related to anti-aging, sports nutrition, human performance, and hormonal health. Dr. Colgan has a distinguished reputation for expertise in sports nutrition science and functional fitness, and is an advisor to hundreds, in fact, thousands of elite athletes all over the world. His latest three books include Nutrition for Champions, Save Your Brain, and You Can Prevent Cancer. These are exceptional books drawn from the finest science and the mind of Dr. Colgan and are a must-read for all those who have an interest in sports nutrition. Dr. Colgan was the first recipient of the CHFA Sports Nutrition Hall of Fame Award, and his texts and research are utilized extensively in the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Corey. Great to be with you again.
Here we are on the 61st edition of SNU, and of course, I'm sure you can remember when we both sat down in Vancouver and started the whole ball rolling.
I do indeed. Yes.
So why don't you let us know what's new at the Colgan Environmental Farm?
Oh, well, of course, we've got the camps coming up in June, the Power Program Camp, which you know about because you will be... You're kindly going to come and help and be the real heavy grunt man in our iron pit weight room. So anybody who wants a squat off should come and see Corey. And of course we're going to have Tracy. It's absolutely wonderful having had a couple of meals at your home. Wonderful that she's going to do some cooking for us. That's just spectacular. And then she's going to put on her dance class and as Rhythm for Life, which I think is essential for athletes, absolutely essential. And we've got just such a whole lot of people coming, amazing people. You know, our faculty has got Anna Anderson, the yoga instructor. It's got Darwin Rowland, the Hello Worker, does our body work. It's got you and Tracy. It's got Kevin Pollock, who's a PGA professional, who's also a master's trainer for me and has developed from our work his Power for Life program, which does the measurement of people's posture and produces a program for them to improve it, which of course, you know, if you do training with a wonky posture, then you're going to get wonkier. And gosh, we've got Leslie, of course, my dear wife, and Elise and Dr. David Matthews. And this year, he's actually going to be doing consultations on his own work, which is reconstructive surgery. So there are going to be quite a few people there that are going to take care of athlete problems. And then his daughter, Elise, who's now got her master's in the Power Program, she's going to come and teach the Power Program itself. So, wow, I'm looking just staggered by it.
This sounds fantastic. Now, for someone who hasn't been to the camp, maybe you can explain the different levels of training or the certification that you offer.
So there are two things to do. One is to come to the camp and just do a Power Program, which is essentially 4 days. You go through all of the Power Program stuff, both lectures and practicals, and that's it. Or you can take the camp and certification, which is a co-requisite with your course, Corey, and there's 3 years of certification. And we've got quite a few people enrolled this year for stage one and stage two. So we're looking forward to that. And that's an extra 2 days. Oh, and I meant to tell you, and I don't think we've sent it out, but the CSNA members that are doing your course get a whacking discount on the camp. The camp normally is $1,500, and we will do it for the CSNA members for $750, but if they want to also have accommodation at the farm, we'll do it for $950. So that's a pretty big deal.
Absolutely. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. 7:50 for just coming to the camp, 9:50 if they're going to stay. Now, if they're going to do the certification, that costs another $375.
I see. So we'll make sure that everyone is aware of that. Now, tell us about where they're going to be and where your camp is held.
Oh, we have, on Salt Spring Island, we have 80 acres just on the end of St. Mary Lake. We've got a big lake frontage. We have two gyms. We have a yoga room. We have a big pool, a commercial-sized hot tub, beautiful grounds, amazing running trails, and of course, a whole lot of lake fun, lake swimming, fishing, everything you could think of. Horse riding, because it is an equestrian. We breed our horses here, so we have an equestrian center, so there are horse riding as well. It's a pretty comprehensive lot of things. We get athletes here every stripe, from tennis players, rugby players, track and field athletes, swimmers, all sorts.
Now, isn't the Power Program based to some degree on the book by the same name?
Yes, it takes that book, the new Power Program, and takes it further. The book itself, even though it's 400 and something pages and it's full size 8.5 by 11 book, it still only covers very basic stuff. So, in the program itself, you get shown stages 1, 2, and 3, and also some exercises from stage 4, which only the master's trainers do. And you know those, Corey, those are where you do weight training, but you do it standing on a Swiss ball. So it's fairly calamitous for people who think they can do it but can't.
So it might be advantageous for someone who might want to come to the camp to buy the book first and to read it to get an idea of what you're going to be teaching.
I think that's a great idea, and actually a few people have done that, and they've got the reading matter for the certification, because if you're going to do that and you're going to take the lectures, it's worthwhile taking the extra day and a half, which is what it essentially is, to do a couple of lectures and the examinations. There's both a written and practical exam. Unfortunately, one or two people last year, they came but they hadn't read the book, and they sat the certification and they failed. We don't particularly like that happening, because we had everyone else who had done the work passed it pretty easily.
Now, what do I need to do if I want to sign up? What's the first step that I take?
Oh, I think the first step is to call the Colgan Institute. That is that 1-250-537-2089, or send us an email to admin@colganinstitute.com, admin@colganinstitute.com. And both of those routes can get you in pretty quick.
And, of course, your website, colganinstitute.com, has detailed information.
If you look at colganinstitute.com, it's got all of the details of the camps and everything, including pictures of you, Corey.
Well,
Tracy.
Yeah, right on. That's great. And, of course, you and I have been lecturing lately here in Vancouver and having a fun time and trying to stir up some activity in that regard as well.
Yes, we have. And, it's a little bit of a hard road to hoe, because people don't want to know that prevention is where it's at with regard to health. Prevention is the hardest thing to sell. We look at the stuff, the basic stuff that's in Nutrition for Champions, my little book, and it's pretty obvious. It's not new. I might have sort of given it another slant, but it's something that should have been part of prevention a long time ago, but they're not. And it's one of the biggest problems of our politically mandated health care. Prevention's always the last strategy to get adopted into public policy, because unlike a cancer or a clogged artery, disease that does not happen is invisible. And it's very difficult to put on public parade so you can gain brownie points for it. So you can't photo-op prevention, and that's the problem. And in the case of the things that we're talking about, Corey, it takes 30 or 40 years for the evidence to show. And if you think of politicians and people who make health policy and who spend our health money, those individuals, if they institute programs like that, they're not in power that long. So whatever credit they might get for a prevention program, it would probably be posthumous, if they got any at all. So you have to learn to protect yourself. That's the key.
And that is one of the strongest principles in natural medicine, prevention.
Yes.
Prevention of the pathology. Now, Tracy and I went out for lunch today, and as we were driving through a school zone, you know, you have to slow down to less than 30K, we noticed the kids walking along, every single one of those kids, and we counted like hundreds, all had a piece of pizza.
Oh, boy.
In their hand, like it's lunchtime, right?
Yeah.
And then we drive by the shops close to the school, and they're all flooded. Like, we're looking at 7-Eleven and Mac's and pizza and fast food. So these kids are all, like, just imbibing and gorging themselves on pizza. Every nationality, we look at their skin and a lot of obesity. So these kids really are living in a state of ignorance, it would seem.
Unfortunately, yes. But, you know, Corey, it's not going to last that long. I've just written a paper for the Associated Press on the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. It came out with its 1,500-page report last Friday from the United Nations. And there's going to be some serious, serious changes. And we mean serious. I mean, people like Al Gore, for example, are talking through their hats when they think that they are going to change things. His whole idea of carbon credits, etc., which he actually developed and which he owns a very large number of shares in, you know, firms can go on polluting as long as they plant trees somewhere else so they can get carbon credits, or that they pay for little tiny groups of people in third world countries to make ethanol out of corn and things like that. And it's stupid. It's only a way for people to make money. In fact, carbon credits and the whole carbon sequestration industry is now a multi-billion dollar industry. And you can buy shares in it on any of the marketplaces. And that's terrible because nobody is going to benefit from it. And the reason that nobody's going to benefit from it is that China and India are not going to take part. And they are very, very resistant to Western countries preaching at them about pollution when the very countries that are doing the preaching did their industrial development a century ago and polluted the hell out of everything. So the Chinese, the Indians, the Iranians, all the Middle Easterns, the Russians, they are not going to slow down their use of fossil fuels for anyone because they view it as a way of the West stopping their economic development. Now, when you consider that China and India alone have 2.5 billion people, and that's more than one-third of the total population of the Earth, and right at the moment, I don't know about India, but China, 80% of its power is produced from coal, most polluting that you can get. So there is not going to be any change. The world is going to get very much more polluted. The fossil fuel use is going to rise astronomically. Food and water are going to be pretty different. We're going to lose a lot of stuff in the next 20 years. In the next 20 years, we're going to lose a hell of a lot of animals and plants. The water shortages in many countries have become critical because of global warming has got rid of most of the ice reserve now in the mountains. It's not the bits, you know, the bits that are falling off in Antarctica, etc. They make spectacular photographs for the media, but they're not the bits to worry about. What the bits to worry about are, for instance, Kilimanjaro has no snow now. You know the old saying, the snows of Kilimanjaro?
Yes, absolutely.
They're gone. So all the rivers that were fed by them are gone too. So we're going to have more than a billion people at high risk of dying from dehydration and starvation, because if there's no water, there is no rivers, no fish, no crops, no livestock, no wildlife, no trees, just desert. So we're going to have about 1 billion people trying to move to places like America and Canada. It makes the war, the amount of damage, the amount of people dying, makes the war in Iraq look piddling, look absolutely nothing to be even worried about.
Now, when you say what you're saying, you know, some people might criticize you, and I've been criticized for the same reason. Oh, what a downer. You know,
yeah,
God, I mean, can't you talk about something more positive, Corey or Michael?
Well, I can talk. I know there are things positive to talk about. There's great, there are very many good folk, and I don't count Al Gore as one of them. There are very many good folk who want to reduce pollution, and we should all be concerned to clean up our mess. And one of the things is to grow organic food and stop putting synthetic fertilizer on the land. But, you know, it's very hard to convince people because it's cheaper to do it that way. And then so you from the first of all, the synthetic fertilizer uses a lot of fossil fuel just to make it, and then it lets off greenhouse gases itself. So there's going to be some serious changes in the next 20 years.
I agree. I agree. You know, I was watching Larry King last night. They had a medical panel, and Deepak Chopra, Lance Armstrong, another physician I didn't know, and a medical correspondent from CNN. And they were all talking about anti-aging and living well and better. And collectively, they said things are getting better, like the opposite of what you're saying. But I didn't agree with them, Michael. I thought they were just kind of being...
I believe that our personal conservation is very good. And I've said in my article, it's gone to Associated Press now, I don't know what they'll do with it, that we should think locally and act locally, and we will have the local benefits, a local better environment, better health, better food. But to think on the scale that somebody like Al Gore is putting forward, and I think there's a lot of commerce in that, is ludicrous when you look at the populations of the developing world. The best that each of us can achieve is to think locally and act locally. And that's why I applaud Arnold Schwarzenegger so much, because he went out on a limb and he did it in California. And then everyone benefits from that.
Now, there's so much stuff, really good stuff, in Nutrition for Champions. And, you know, each book that you produce seems to get better. And I know that you refer to it as a little book, but it's potent. And, of course, I've learned that you don't judge everything in this life by size, but more by quality. But there's a quote in here that really stood out for me, and it was on the section on milk, Michael.
Yeah.
And, you know, like a lot of people still today believe that milk is safe. And, of course,
yeah,
you're taking an opposite position there. But there's this one little quote I want to read, and it's you said, "Whenever you discover something iffy about your product, which the milk industry did in 1932, claim the opposite and make it a crowning virtue." Now, what a powerful statement. So, I mean, what you're insinuating is that they themselves knew that their product was incomplete and not as virtuous as everyone thinks it is.
Oh, they did. I have the evidence. I don't put anything in there without evidence. They knew all right. And that is one of the oldest ploys of advertising. If you've got a bad product and you can't absolutely change it, then make the bad things about it the crowning virtues. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty simple, really.
It's criminal, though. That's very deceitful.
Well, yes, but that's what commerce, in a lot of commerce, is about. It's about selling products that wouldn't sell otherwise. I mean, just look at the whole carbon credit industry. It is a farce. It's an absolute farce, yet it's a multi-billion dollar industry financed by the World Bank that will not, I will absolutely 100% predict that it will not affect global warming, that it will not lower carbon emissions in the world, and that we would be a hell of a lot better off if the carbon credits and the carbon sequestration industry was turned into a water credits, a water sequestration industry, and providing water for the people that are going to run out because of the carbon in the air.
So what do we do on a personal level? How do we stand up against this seemingly impossible force coming across the nation and like the corporations that are driven by profit and stripping the soil of all its virtue? What do we do on a personal level? How can we survive it?
Well, I think on a personal level, we act locally and we also look after the people around us and spread that information through them. And I mean, there are certain things that I think a lot of young people should do. One is, obviously, people, they're out to seek housing and, you know, comfort and those sorts of things. And we know that from, partly from the carbon emissions that we've been putting into the air, which are the highest now that have ever been recorded in the last 450,000 years from the ice core data, the methane as well, we don't exactly know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be good. Well, I mean, we know that global warming is happening. We don't know how much of the carbon business results in global warming, but it certainly has some effect. And the best that we can achieve is to look after our own family and our own friends and make them understand that we are in a fairly much of a crisis, that the troposphere, the first layer of air on Earth, has increased in height, which is why we're getting the increased turbulence and the increased storms and hurricanes. And it's all very easy. It's very well understood by the top scientists. The tidal surges, the erosion. So the first thing to do is tell people, don't make your homestead on the shoreline because it's going to get rough. And the second thing is, don't make your homestead in hurricane areas or in areas where the wind is going to whips through. Make it in rolling hills to thwart the winds. And you might wonder, because of all the erosion that's going to take place, you might want to build your house on solid rock, and you might want to have a source of good water nearby because it's going to get rough.
Make it on Salt Spring Island.
Well, I anticipated these things about 15 years ago, which is one reason I moved here, because I knew it was coming. When we had people don't realize that the chlorofluorocarbon crisis nearly finished Western civilization. The air started, the protective belt, the ozone belt, started to get very thin over Europe. If that had collapsed, then Europe would have gone down the tubes. Fortunately, we stopped the CFCs, except for China, still actually producing them. You know, people think they're going to get China to reduce its carbon emissions. They can't even get it to stop producing CFCs. And so that was when I decided that you better find somewhere that's actually more amenable to a life that is resistant to the power of nature, because the power of nature, I mean, compared to the power of a hurricane, a nuclear bomb is just feeble.
Now, you know, talking about nature, then you think about the genome, and then there's that connection to food, because you open up in your book by stating that our genome is a product of nature. So therefore, the food that we consume or did consume in the past that created our genome today is no longer compatible, and that's the essence of a lot of our problems. Is it not?
It is indeed. And I you know, I'm not alone at all. I've sent that book to some of the world experts, and I've got nothing but praise from them. Some of them have written little forewords to it. It's staggering that we continue to do what we're doing in the face of the evidence. I know it's even worse. You know, you said you were seeing this thing about with Deepak Chopra and things. I didn't see it, but I don't know what they were saying. I don't know if they were mentioning the environment or anything.
No, they're talking about anti-aging and living better, well, longer, and that things
are
looking bright.
At the moment, but guess what? The age at death is much sooner than it was in many undeveloped countries. Their lifespan is going down very rapidly. Very rapidly. But like by a year, every 5 years, they're getting a year shorter. And some of them are now down to age 33, average age at death. Now that's terrible. We were doing a lot better. But of course, Western society, you know, we've got such riches here. Such amazing riches. It bounces off us.
Yeah, but I don't see that improvement that they were talking about. I mean, individually isolated cases. I feel like myself and Tracy, but most of our family, most of our friends and colleagues, they're getting worse.
Oh,
and, you know,
well,
the diseases.
If you look at the average age at death, it has not increased very much in the last 10 years. That's the average lifespan. But what's happened is we've got better at keeping extremely sick people alive. And consequently, when you add up all the death certificates, it looks as if we're living longer. But the World Health Organization, and some, I think about 1995, they stopped using the lifespan as a measure of health. And now they use what's called the healthy lifespan. In fact, we've just produced the Colgan Longevity Scale, which actually works on the United Nations healthy lifespan. And a healthy lifespan is, or healthy life expectancy, is the age at death minus the years of disability. That is, when you are really dependent on others. And that's going up and up in Western society. So anyone who says that we're living longer may be correct, but if they have to then qualify it by saying, yes, but we're living sicker.
Absolutely, and no doubt. Michael, it's always a privilege to speak with you, and your mind is always so busy and active with so many different projects and filled with the science that we all love. Just before we go, I'd like you maybe to share with us a little bit about the new DVD on Save Your Brain, because we saw the presentation here and we were just absolutely amazed, and I just think this should be in every home. So what have you done with that?
Well, the DVD is now in its final stages, thankfully. It is pretty astounding. The evidence from across the world, I've had superb cooperation from many of the brain experts to produce that little book, Save the Brain, and then, of course, the brain course that I'm teaching online, which comes online 1st of May, is the first lecture, and enrollments close on the 18th of this month, or late enrollments on the 30th. So that's what's come out of it, and the DVD, Access the Power of Your Brain, goes into the second stage after the book Save Your Brain, in that it goes into how we can release some more of the power of our brain. And first of all, it uses evidence from a large number of researchers that we have a hell of a lot more power in the brain if only we could access it. And some of the programs that we're going to be using in the course enable you to access more of the power of your brain. And it's absolutely amazing. It amazes me. It amazed me when I was doing the evidence, but the latest stuff, the stuff that's being done right now, is mind-blowing, in that the human brain is 100 times more powerful than most of us ever get to. You know what we get taught from babyhood? We get taught the lowest common denominator of language, math, art, science, and music. The lowest common denominator, because it has to be at the level of the dumbest person in the class. And that's awful, because the power of the human brain is such that we can outstrip anything. The human brain is more complex than the known universe, far more complex. Stephen Hawking, the other day, when the climate change report came out, he said, now we really have to use our brains. We can't solve this with commerce. We have to use our brains. And that, he said, otherwise we're going to cook the planet.
And there you have it. Well, once again, we've heard it from the genius and the master himself. Dr. Michael Colgan is the king of sports nutrition, and hallelujah, when the king is righteous, the people rejoice. Michael, you know, you've got nothing but goodwill and positive intentions for everybody in your heart, and I know that to be true. So everyone out there, fill up on this man and his wise words, and once again, we thank you very much for participating on our anniversary for this edition of SNU.
Oh, I enjoy it so much, Corey.
We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.